Yeah, explaining our Sai Sandhya captures and first I record or give definition of Heisenberg manifolds. So Heisenberg manifold correspond to a manifold M together with so M is a manifold and together with a distinguished R-perplane bundle of the tangent bundle. Okay, so so it's a datum, so it's a pair of M and H. Okay, so so I give some examples. So first example is when you have a contact manifold. So this is when H is the kernel of the contact form. Which means that so one theta is one form. So that it is non-degenerate on H. So that d theta is non-degenerate on H. So another example is that of a CR manifold. Okay, so this corresponds to the case where H has a complex structure. So, in particular, we get a splitting for the complexified of H. As T10 plus T01. Okay, so where T10 is closed under the bracket of vector fields, and you can introduce the Lewy form, which is the Hermitian form on T1 on section of on T10, so which is equal to negative I d theta of Z W bar, where Z and W are section of T10. Okay, and theta of in fact, so I should have what it here. So in general, you assume M to be orientable, and so you can realize H as a kernel of one form theta. Okay, and the Lewy form of theta is given by negative I d theta, okay, Z W bar for Z W section of T10, and if you like, the Lewy form plays the role of some kind of curvature for CR manifold, and in particular, we say that M is strictly pseudo-convex, so I write S psi C when L theta is positive definite everywhere. Okay. And in particular, when M is strictly pseudo-convex. Okay, then the pair M theta is a contact manifold. So, yeah, so it depends what definition you take for contact manifold, but what I mean is that if the Lewy form is positive definite, then theta is a contact form, and so M has a structure of a contact manifold. Okay, so these are examples of Heisenberg manifold. And now I'll give some examples of operators. Okay. So first, so there's okay, so there are many operators on the Heisenberg manifold. And so I'll mention two of them. So the first one is a Hermander sum square. Okay, so so I call you the definition. So so this is a sum of square of vector field. So x1, x2, xm, where x1, xm span h. Okay. And so by well-known result of Hermander, so in the case of Heisenberg manifold, delta is hypolytic. So in fact, it's 7. So it's hypolytic with gain of one derivative if only if we have the Hermander condition, which in the case of Heisenberg manifold reduced to h plus the bracket of h and h equals tm at every point. Okay, and second example, so is a cone Laplacian. So in this case, okay, so for Hermander sum square, okay, so you take this two. So Hermander sum square is defined on any Heisenberg manifold, okay, and for the cone Laplacian, it's defined on a CR manifold. So I didn't mention it, but when you have a CR structure or contact structure, the dimension of the manifold must be odd. Okay. Okay, so and CR manifold. So you have splitting of complexified horizontal tangent space. Like this, and from this you get this induced splitting of horizontal differential form. Okay, so you have a big grading on them, and you have decomposition in terms of P2 forms. Okay, we have P and Q on this from zero. From 0 to n. Okay. Okay, and so from this you get the Cohn-Rossi complex. So D bar B, which goes from so I said complex, so it's from 0q form to 0q plus 1 form. Okay, and satisfy E bar B square equal 0. So how it is obtained? So if you take a form, a 0q form, so I have to write h as kernel of theta. Okay, so first piece is one q form. Second piece, d bar b alpha, is a 0 q plus 1 form. And the last piece, so is something which is a vertical form. Okay. Okay, and this is the way you define d bar b. Okay, so the Cohn-Rossi complex is the complex that you get Okay, I didn't mention this. So, example of a CR manifold. So this is the boundary of a complex domain in Cn plus 1. So in particular, when you look at the D-bar complex with the D-bar Neumann condition on the boundary, what you get is the Cohn-Rossi complex. So it's also the analog of the D-bar complex for CR manifold, and the Cohn-Lapachian is the Lapachian of this complex. So it's D bar B. So D bar B star D bar B plus D bar B D bar B star. And a result of Cohn. Is that box B is hypoelliptic. So in fact it's hypoelliptic with gain of one derivative. If and only if a condition YQ holds. So condition YQ is condition which depends on the eigenvalues of the demiform. In particular, so I won't define it in detail, but I just mentioned it that so when M is strictly pseudo-convex, which means that the Lebesgue is positive definite, okay, then YQ only means that we have Q different from 0 and M. Okay. So maybe to make a clear statement, I mean the Cohn-Laplacian on a 0 Q form. Okay. Is hypoelliptic if and if condition which holds. So, and when M is strictly pseudo convex, it means that the Cohn-Laplacian is hypoelliptic for Q between 1 and n minus 1. Okay, so there are other operators, but for a talk I will stick to these two operators. So we have hypoelliptic result, so from Cohn and from Anders. And but what we like to do is to have a pseudo differential calculus to study this kind of operator. And the relevant pseudo differential calculus in this city is the Heisenberg calculus of Bilsteiner and Taylor. So I'm going to explain this a little bit. So I start by defining it in a local chart. So okay, so you have a Heisenberg manifold of dimension d plus 1. Okay, and I consider a local chart. So you in RD plus 1 together with a frame. So it's a tangent frame. Okay, so that the last D vectors span H. Okay. So symbols are defined as follows. So what you consider are anisotropic symbols. So they are okay. So they are function on U cross R D plus 1, and they have an asymptotic term of symbol like this. So in terms of some homogeneous symbol, but the homogeneity is an isotropy notion of homogeneity. So namely, what we have is that P Pm minus j of x lambda dot xi is equal to lambda to m minus j of Pm minus j x xi for any lambda positive. And here, lambda dot xi, so it's lambda dot of xi0, xi1, xid. Okay, this is equal to lambda square xi0, lambda xi1, lambda xid. Okay, so so now the pseudo-differential operators in this calculus, so I can call them CHDOs. So we start by considering the classical symbol of the vector field. Maybe I'll write this. Okay, so I let sigma j be 1 over I. One over I is the symbol of the vector field xj. Okay, and I let sigma be equal to sigma 0, sigma 1, sigma d. And if you have a Heisenberg symbol, so like above, okay, you can associate an operator which can be noted as P of x 1 over I x, capital X, okay, like this, okay, which is defined as follows. So if u is a compactly supported function on capital U, du of x, so this is equal to 2 pi to negative d plus 1. Okay, so d plus 1 is the dimension of the ambient space. Integral of e to the I x dot xi, so scalar product of x and xi, of p of x, sigma x xi, of u at xi dxi. Okay, so what we like is to have, if you like, a symbol, I mean, so when we did with, when a little p is a polynomial in C, what you like is to have a polynomial in 1 over I x, okay? And to do this, we quantize little p as follows by plugging sigma xc instead of xi in the formula for defining the pseudo-differential operator. Okay, and in general, so the class of CHDO of order m on U corresponds to operator of this form. Okay, modulo a smoothing operator. Okay, so little p is a Heisenberg symbol of order m. And R is a smoothing operator. Okay. So. So now, how do you get calculus? So by using model operator. So reason why Heisenberg manifold are called Heisenberg manifold is because at each point you have a notion of tangent group. Okay, So I want here. So at 3 points, you have a tangent group which is isomorphic to the Heisenberg group crossed with abelian group. Okay. Okay, so Heisenberg group. So this is R cross R to N with the following product. X dot so product with I is equal to so product of X and Y is equal to X0 plus Y0 plus sum of from J equals 1 to N of XJ YN plus J minus XN plus J YJ, and then the rest is X1 plus Y1 etc. through X to N plus Y to N. Okay, and so in particular, we have a vector field. So which are left invariant. On G, on the tangent group. Sorry, which here I identify with Heisenberg group across RD2 minus N. So first vector is X0A, which is DX0. Then we have vector fields XJA, which is DXJ minus XN plus J DX0. XN plus J A, which is D XN plus J plus XJ D X0. So this is for J between 1 and N. And the other vector fields, XKA, are just D DX K. So it's for K between 2N plus 1 and D. And in particular, you have a Heisenberg relation, which is XJ A, XJ XN plus J, A equals negative 2 X0 A. So now how do we define the model operator? So if P has symbol P, okay, which are what like this, then the model operator does operator PA. Which is so left so invariant CH0 on tangent group at A, and this is given this is equal to so the left invariant CH0 on G of M, okay, with symbol at the origin agrees with the principal symbol at A. Okay. And so it appears as a PH0 in terms of the left invariant vector fields X J A. Okay. Okay. So in particular, so so if you like so left invariant operator on nilpotent left group, nilpotent Lie group. So they have been thoroughly studied. And in particular, from this you get so you have a product for these symbols. So if you have two operators, a P1 P2. Okay, so maybe I want with the model operator. Then you can write their product, okay, as some product of their principal symbol. So. Okay, so yeah, so you can write this. So I write like this. Okay, so if you have two model operators for P1A and P2A, then you can write their product, okay, as a left invariant PH0, okay, whose symbol is denoted PM1 star PM2 of A. Okay. So what you have is that if you have two homogeneous symbols on a tangent group, G over A, then you have a product for these symbols. So maybe I put star A here. Okay. So, and this product comes from, so here you have two convolution operators. Okay. So at the, so they are given by convolution operators, which is given, which is a convolution on a tangent group of the kernels of P1 and P2. And so so you take the inverse Fourier transform, and this is what defines the product for homogeneous symbols. Okay. So it's a pointwise product with respect to the X variables here. Okay. And in fact, this depends smoothly on A. So in fact, what you get is you get a product for homogeneous Heisenberg symbol. Okay. Where PM1 star PM2 of XC is equal to, so you do a pointwise product at X. Okay, and you evaluate with C, and this gives PM1 star PM2 of X. So how much time do I have?
You have
4 minutes, okay, so I have only one sheet. Okay. So what I want to mention, so that so if you want to invert the inverse, to find the principal symbol of possible parametrics for P, what you need is just to look for each A for an inverse of the model operators, okay? And this is a way that you can invert a principal symbol. And so in this thing, what you have is, okay, so in particular, you can prove that under same condition for apolyticity for a Romander sum square and for a cone Laplacian, then under this under these two conditions here and two conditions here, we can construct a parametrics for the Ormander sum of square and for the cone Laplacian. And furthermore, we have an explicit formula for the inverse of the principal symbol. So this was shown by this trainer. Okay. So now there was a small issue about how. So if you like, what did Bill Greiner? They were able to invert at each point the model operator, and from the explicit formula, you can see that the inverse is going to vary smoothly. Okay. So in general, when you cannot give an explicit formula for the inverse of the model operator, you may wonder whether once you have invert at each point the model operator, whether the inverse is going to vary smoothly. Okay. And what I prove is that, in fact, this is the case. Okay. So now I would like to mention just a final result. Okay. So so it's a recent result that I got 2 weeks ago. So if you can look at the Barbie. So in fact, it's when you look at d bar b plus d bar b star, and this is in fact a Dirac operator. Okay, so if you like the complex structure of S, you find a spin C structure, and the Dirac operator with respect to the spin C structure is essentially d bar b plus d bar b star. So maybe there is a coefficient square root of 2. Okay, so the square of d bar b plus d bar b star is a cone Laplacian. But when it's strictly pseudo-convex, for instance, it's not hypolyptic in degree 0 and in degree n. Okay. So what I obtain is the following. So there exists a Dirac operator. So let me mention. So take a CR manifold. So there is an extra condition that I will mention in a minute. So so you have a CR manifold, and what you have is that there exists a Dirac operator acting on all PQ form, okay, with square. So the square is a sum of square. And so int this. So it's a sum of square. So in particular, it is hypolyptic whenever we have this condition h plus the bracket of h is equal to tn. Okay, so this condition is a very weak condition. Okay, In particular, it is automatically satisfied when its M is strictly pseudo-convex. Okay. And so, what do we need more? Is the existence of a real structure is that H transform C is isomorphic. No, H, sorry. Okay. Is isomorphic to the complexified of some vector bundle. Okay. And this condition is automatically satisfied when M is the boundary of a complex domain. Okay. And okay, since you can have I finish quickly. So you can give a Lichner-Horowitz formula for D square. And so you can apply a technique of local index theory to compute the index of D. Okay. So this paves the way to a formulation of a local index formula for V index formula in a CR geometry. And also if you look at you can also define it on a boundary. And so what you get is you get a Dirac operator whose square is apolyptic on forms satisfying a Dibar Neumann condition. Okay. That's it.
Thank you.